You ready for Basecamp Fitness's best deal yet? 7 days for $7. That's right, 7 days for $7. It's time to double down on your fitness goals and snag this offer before it's gone. Call or text Basecamp Fitness at 913-232-9770 or go to basecampfitness.com to learn more.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a Tuesday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Drake, we had up until 2 o'clock. We've got you for the next 4 hours.
Hey! Forgetting somebody?
I was only talking about the people that were ready to go for the show. I mean,
hey, listen.
I got my headphones on. We're talking here. You're standing up. Your backpack's not unpacked yesterday.
That's true.
You're holding court out in the hall. You're talking with the new intern here while the music's playing and the mics are on. It's almost like you forgot how to do radio. You've been gone for, what, 2.5 months? And now all of a sudden you get back here and you're like, microphone? Oh, that's on? What's that thing all about? I don't know. I'm just going to hold court and have a conversation out here.
Sterling was in here yesterday, ran out the door with all the cinnamon rolls.
You know the gif from Community where Donald Glover's character walks in, he's holding like 3 boxes of pizza and the whole building's on fire?
Yeah.
That's what I felt like. I walked in this morning and it was like, wait a second, not only do I not know where anything is anymore, not only did my key not work, not only did you keep asking me not to return, hold on a second. I'm starting to think there might be a pattern here.
It's weird. You couldn't get texts and all the texts of people saying, yeah, you don't need to return.
That's right. I went overseas. And you know what? Let me go ahead and turn my phone back on here.
Please, take it
Jason,
off airplane mode.
From Drake, from
yeah, thank
Chad,
you.
From Lebo.
I loved the Josh's, huh. Like, you know, I'm using air quotes here. I couldn't receive text messages. Still air quotes. It's not allowing me to send a text.
Yeah.
Except for when you send a text that you want to communicate from time to time, all of a sudden a text sent just fine.
See, that's really what it's all about, is figuring out the times when you can realistically, conceivably blame things like international phone travel issues. And then sometimes you want to make sure you do see that, like, Dalvin Cook is coming to the end of his time with the Vikings because, you know, you've got running back contract takes you want to share.
Did you find a pattern as to when the text would be able to be sent or received, or it was just sporadic?
So I actually didn't. I eventually, by the time I ended up in country number 2 on the honeymoon trip, my phone connected to some Spanish phone plan, so I started getting texts in Spain that I didn't get when I was in London. I don't know why, it just how it happened. But just now, I was talking to Curtis in the hall. He's like, "Hey, you never got my text from after the wedding, did you?" Like, no. No, I literally never did. So I actually
so his
thought,
didn't even come through?
Never, still don't have it.
It's just out there in the ether.
In the ether somewhere.
In like three months, you're going to get a text from Curtis.
It was like wedding pictures and some other stuff from after the wedding. And like I still don't have that text. So I thought that by the time we started getting cell service again in Spain, or certainly by the time we got home, I thought I had texts that I had responded to. But I'll tell you what, if you sent me anything from the last 2 weeks that I just did not reply to, I guess I legitimately never got it, and it wasn't just an elaborate ploy.
Yeah.
I thought it was an elaborate ploy.
Most of those were from Chad.
Yeah, that's my concern.
Did you get emails?
Because
we got an entire staff email about you.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, about... And look here, Josh's last day.
Don't worry about that.
913-912-4810.
That is still the text line to join us to be a part of the show. We will talk with Adam Teicher
can
at
I
11
still
o'clock.
Text in?
You can, yes.
How is that working? Sorry.
Your text is working now.
No.
Okay, get on the Twitch stream and
yes!
comment there.
That'll work.
We'll talk with Adam Teicher from ESPN. He'll be our guest at 11 o'clock. Get his thoughts on the Chiefs. A couple of segments with Adam Teicher. Chiefs in D.C. yesterday. And back in Kansas City for OTAs today, tomorrow, on into Thursday. We will hear from the Chiefs on Thursday at 1 o'clock, Andy Reid and others. That comes up Thursday at 1 o'clock. Adam Teicher today. We'll also hang out with Les Norman coming up in the noon hour. Breaking the norm, we'll talk some Royals baseball with Les Norman for the hour. And then Todd Lebo will hang out with us in the 1 o'clock hour. And I believe we will bring back, by popular demand, Fact or Fiction that went away for a few months for some reason. But Fact or Fiction, I actually don't know the last time we actually did a Fact or Fiction on the show.
Free point for Drake.
He's up 1-0 already. Damn it.
My first one's going to
be... He's so good at that game, man.
My first one's just going to be, I still work here. Fact or fiction, Lebo?
Factition? I'm not sure.
That's
how the show lines up and how to be a part of the show. Things we'll get into today. We'll talk some Major League Baseball. We'll talk some NFL football. We'll get into some NBA with game number 3 tomorrow night in Miami. We'll also talk a little X Factor, best centers in the NFL that are ranked, roster rankings, market implied power rankings, which is just sort of the way Vegas views the Chiefs and other teams on a neutral site against an average NFL team. What is the point spread for the Chiefs versus point spread for other teams? We'll look at that. That was a sort of fascinating way to view it. And more coaches weighing in on DeAndre Hopkins being asked about it and weighing in publicly.
What happened with him?
He actually joined the XFL.
Whoa! Crazy!
Yeah, he's very excited about it. He joined NFL Europa.
Which Liv just bought, which is weird.
Yeah, he's going to be part of Barcelona. He's very excited about it. But a number of teams that, if you go through and start eliminating the teams that aren't going to be any good this year, teams that don't have good quarterbacks, teams that coaches that may have been, teams that may have been talked about where coaches have said, nah, we're good, publicly, you start to whittle it down to how many teams Hopkins could sign with. And when you throw in the Buffalo Bills restructuring Ed Oliver and then signing Leonard Floyd, which people feel like was the money they might have given to DeAndre Hopkins. That money is now gone. Most people assume the Buffalo Bills are now out of the running. Not even assuming. There have been a couple of people, you know, nationally that have said and reported Buffalo Bills are not in the running for DeAndre Hopkins. They've spent that money on Leonard Floyd after restructuring Ed Oliver's contract. Not a surprise. Those two things go hand in hand. That might be the same thing with the Chiefs in a defensive tackle being restructured or extended, I should say. Ed Oliver's contract was an extension, not a restructure. Chris Jones ultimately will get an extension, and we'll see what happens with other players or if there's cap relief this year, if they roll some of that over, if they just have cap relief this year too, as we've talked about in years past, Brett Veach saying just keeping the lights on. So you need $3, $4 million to go into a season over the cap, and right now they're sitting about one. They've got some other moves that they probably need to and will make before the season starts. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But as you start to whittle those teams down and eliminate some of them, we'll get into some teams that are remaining, and we'll talk some Royals and what's gone on the last 11 games while they're losing. What we're seeing from the actual play on the field, we'll get into some of those things. 913-912-4810. You went everywhere but the White House.
Yeah, I did.
And then,
yeah.
And then the Chiefs took care of that for you yesterday. So
we stopped in Newark, not in D.C. on the way back. So that was not quite. There was no.
Lovely?
It was beautiful. The Newark airport is. Actually, there's a new terminal I learned. It's also very far away from the terminal we flew into.
How about that, huh? Good for you.
You were a witness to my worst my worst 30 minutes of travel stretch, I think, of all time when I left the Thai line.
And you almost died.
I almost died trying to get the Thai line back from the Shake Shack and the Las Vegas airport. I have a whole new series of just not quite as traumatic but also not fun international travel stories. And no, at no point did we make it to D.C. At no point did anyone give me a custom jersey with my name on it. Like, I went to that Barca game. I thought maybe they'd bring me out onto the pitch and just say, Joshua Briscoe from Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City is here.
It would have been only right if they put an E on last name.
Maybe one of those little, what's the little accent underneath the C on Briscoe, you know? Joshua Briscoe?
Briscoe.
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 Briscoe. I can live with that, actually.
Joshua Brisse.
As long as it's not just Joshua Brisse.
So how many countries? We'll get into the Chiefs and the White House and other things, but
good.
You're returning after a month.
I'm back.
How many countries did you guys go and visit?
Three countries, not including starting in the U.S. So we were ultimately in four countries over the course of the 15 days or whatever. We did a lot of travel. The travel part was not great. Everything in between the actual traveling was stupendous. We started in London. We went to Barcelona. And then a little city out just outside of Barcelona, which every Spanish city is the most fun to say after the fact. It's a miracle so far that there's no vague accent of any sort. I didn't bump into Curtis in the hallway and go, pardon, which is something you got to be able to do. I feel like that might be one of my big learning experiences. It takes me about 3 days to just start saying thank you and excuse me and hello in the languages of the countries that I'm in. But then it takes about 3 more days to stop doing that. So if at some point, like, I bump into you and I just say, like, morning, governor, like, that would be, I'm going to try not to do that, but... we were briefly
the universal.
That one works everywhere.
Universal.
Actually.
My apologies.
Everyone understands top of the morning. Weirdly, but yeah,
I haven't seen you in a while. A little bit of the how's your father.
See, that's what it's going to be. Hey, hola. I don't know. I've never felt dumber than being in countries where our tour guides in a couple of places. They were speaking. I think they probably spoke 5 or 6 languages. Yeah. It was like. Hola! Thanks for having us here in your beautiful country. Thanks for having us here in Barcelona. But it was a hell of a tour.
Barcelona. Barcelona.
I got good with Barca at the actual match we were at, which was crazy. We were right behind the here's the one sports thing we did for all you sports nuts out there. We ended up being just like a few rows behind. I didn't know this when we bought the tickets. I'm going to go ahead and say the cauldron of Barcelona because Sporting is really the center of my football universe.
Some would say the capital of America when it comes to
certainly would.
Soccer.
I think anybody respectable would probably say anything
anybody
about
with the brain.
That. I haven't been on Twitter in a while, but I imagine you haven't been tweeting about that or anything. Probably
didn't do it when the Royals played the Cardinals either.
We're not in. No, definitely not. Never would have done that. You definitely didn't make any cutting and delicious points during any of that.
There's no reason to do that.
I was definitely not reading tweets on my honeymoon. I did a pretty good for a. Good long chunk of it.
Okay.
About 10 of those 15 days, I was very offline.
Good for you.
But yeah, that was absolute lunacy. And so yeah, it was the UK, Spain, and France in a relatively short period of time. And I am exhausted.
There will be lots of stories that we will hear from Josh as the days and weeks go by and just random little anecdotes mixed in here and there. And
I'm more worried about hearing the stories of really just mixed stories from while I haven't been here or just I learned that my mom was a part of Mixed Learn Funniest Best of the weekend, the Monday after the wedding. And so that I've not gone back to listen to that podcast, and you can't make me.
Yeah, no, it was all three, his learned, his funniest, and his best.
That makes it worse.
He learned some things about your family.
Yeah.
The funniest was your reaction to it, and the best was just getting to hold her. I think that's what he said.
Yeah, I think it's about time for me to take another vacation. Good to be back. I gotta go.
All right, so the Chiefs went to the White House yesterday, and when everything was going on in 2020 and everything shut down, our minds were in a lot of different places,
mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really hit you and realize that, oh, that's right, they didn't do that in 2020 because the Royals did it. 2020 happened. The Chiefs did not do it, and then they're invited back there this time, and they do that, and it's like, oh, wow, this is the first Chiefs team to ever go to the White House, because it didn't start until 1980. I didn't know. I thought maybe they were doing this since, 1768. That's when they first started inviting NFL teams and baseball teams to the White House.
Definitely existed.
To celebrate, and college football teams especially, to the White House to celebrate college basketball, things like that. The president would call on the phone. The different teams and representatives of those teams and congratulate them. And you'd watch it on TV when all that was going on in the 1700s. I just thought that's what took place. So you realize just how rare it was for the Chiefs to be there and how cool it was for the Chiefs to be there and watch that take place. And I didn't really get much out of it, honestly, other than the team you root for. When you see so many other teams, like the parades were always something that was annoying whenever, you'd be talking and on TV on ESPN, like, oh, here's the championship parade for this particular team. And you're like, oh, who cares?
Yep.
I don't care about championship parades, whatever. You're like, man, that'd be awesome to get a championship parade.
It'd be a lot of fun to walk around.
Man, if you just walked the entire parade route.
Oh, just around the entire parade route.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be cool. I wouldn't want to do that. I certainly wouldn't want to run 20 minutes back to a Shake Shack and then 20 minutes back to the plane. I wouldn't want to do both of those things.
That's why I don't walk leisurely, because when I am walking, it's with a purpose.
Yes.
And usually in anger.
So it's like, you know, that would be awesome to experience that. We've got three. And, you know, going to the White House. The Royals, you know, went to the White House in 2015, but just not even realizing, you know, the whole, you know, Chiefs side of it. And so it was cool to see it, the players there, and to see their social media posts about that, what they were doing and enjoying it, and just sort of embracing it and taking it in. Creed Humphrey with a new profile pic with him in his suit and his sunglasses holding the Lombardi Trophy in front of the White House. That's a pretty nice power move by Creed Humphrey.
Not as big a power move as Chris Jones taking a quick nap. That, to me, that's a hard one to top.
Or was it Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Colin Saunders, and who was...
I can't remember.
Was that Malik Herring that was with them?
It was another one of the D-linemen, I think,
yeah,
right?
That was sitting around some small circle table that I'm guessing has a lot of historical relevance and is probably worth a few million dollars. And there's the color picture. There's also the black and white picture of them sitting around, and Frank Clark labels it mafia because it did look like they were sort of sitting around, you know, and the suits, and some of them look like the new style is sort of old style, things like that. And so, yeah, that was great. But you're right. Chris Jones getting caught napping, and Frank Clark with the great
caption
yeah. of that. With I Have a Dream.
Chris Jones asleep, mouth hanging open.
It is just brilliant by Frank Clark. And what did Chris Jones say? Some people sleep, I take a nap.
It's Derek Nottie in the picture, the mafia picture there, by the way. Yeah.
Guest Derek Nottie. You know, three defensive tackles and a defensive end. Some people didn't make it, but you know, that happens. There's different plans that people have going on in different teams and things like that. Some players were able to make it back from their current teams. Juju Smith-Schuster yep. back, Colin Saunders, as we mentioned, back, Chad Henne out of retirement, looking like one of the coaches in the background. Like, who is that? Honestly, it took me like 15 seconds to figure out who that. Like, that's not Matt Nagy. Holy bleep, that's Chad Henne. Of course, it's Chad Henne. He looks like he blends in next to Matt Nagy or whoever else that is going to be, you know, that you know, coach-like figure. So Chad Henne coming out of retirement, it was a cool. There was a part of me that kind of wished Frank Clark would have worn the sweatpants and hoodie that he got on the bus with. Everybody's wearing the full suit and everything, three-piece suit.
I was wondering if there was going to be a wardrobe change.
Frank Clark gets on the bus wearing sweatpants and a hoodie. And I'm like, you know what? That is a pretty big power move. But yeah. Then he went with a really, really slick suit there. So that was cool. And then Andy Reid, I don't know the last time I've heard Andy Reid get choked up and almost cry. He stopped himself with, doggone it. Doggone it. We're fired up, man. We're fired up, man. Doggone it. I tell you what, Herbie. I wish Herbie was there just for him to say, doggone it, Herbie. Getting choked up, you know?
I'm going through more of the pictures
food.
Here now.
Oh, the food. Doggone it.
Harrison Butker is really committing to this beard. Like, he is, there was a lot more power being brought there from the butt kicker.
Yeah. So Andy Reid up there talking, President Biden up there talking about, you know, Delaware and Delaware football and the Blue Hens, and apparently his 1.99 GPA in college, and that's why he couldn't play football anymore. Or was it in high school that he had the 1.99 GPA? Doesn't matter. I think it was in college.
Worked out.
But it worked out fine. I think he ended up being successful.
Achieving most career goals. Probably.
In life. A lot of people, when they're sitting as a freshman with a 1.9 GPA, they go, hey, what do you want to be? President. Okay. Do you have a backup plan?
Good luck, man.
Because you don't even have a 2.
Yeah, you know what? I'll be the vice president. Do you have a backup plan?
If your 1.9 was your ERA and you said professional pitcher, that would be more likely for you to be able to achieve that dream. President, probably not going to happen in this lifetime or your lifetime. But who amongst us has not had a sub-2 GPA in college at some point for a semester. I mean, right? Some one of
certainly
anybody
certainly somebody? Wouldn't hold that against anybody in this room or anything.
No, not at all. Did what was
no,
your what my, was your GPA at home school?
It just was a thumbs up emoji.
It was a pass fail.
It was it was just keep going, kid.
Was there a Pokemon that you got for
yeah.
Was there a specific Pokemon when you graduated a class?
It was actually just if I didn't get it, I just had to repeat the grade, which just meant it was 1 year further away from leaving the house. So I was self-motivated.
Yeah, that is the motivation right there.
I had to be good at the tests, man.
Can I work ahead? Because Doogie Howser got to leave at like 16.
That's right. Hey, the quicker I could get these wheels moving, the better.
He graduated med school at like 19 years old. Hey, yo, Doug. And he had a friend named Boner. So can I leave the house at 15, 16 years old? Can I work ahead or not?
Do I have to get one of my friends to change their name?
You could. If you want to. If you want to be Doogie Howser and also has to have an accent. Hey, yo, dog. So Andy Reid getting choked up. The mic malfunction that sounded like it was, I don't know, gunshots, a bomb. I'm not sure. Everybody stopped and then Andy, everybody okay? And Travis Kelce, right now. Okay, thank you, Travis.
I saw the conversation being floated on Twitter. I have since reviewed the tape many times. I would like to even get a more specific question to you about the I've been waiting for this moment my whole life.
Can we hear it?
Moment from Travis Kelce. I would love to hear this again.
All right, let's hear Patrick Mahomes stopping Travis Kelce from going to the podium.
All right. Stay right there.
So I've been waiting for this
moment. Sorry.
I don't know who the lady in the background was saying, turn it off. Can you turn it off? Turn it off. Just turn the microphone off. What was your specific question?
How long had they known that was going to happen? And maybe more specifically still, I really do want to know. We can ask Patrick Mahomes about this, hopefully at a podium very soon. Different, maybe one without the presidential seal on the front where we can get the full story. Is this Mahomes being field general, or did Travis Kelce have more content prepared for if he did not get stopped right then?
It was a bit. I think it was absolutely a bit. I think that was planned. And the reason I think it was a bit and it was planned is because you hear Travis Kelce say to President Biden
stay
and Patrick
right
Mahomes, all right, stay right there.
Stay right there.
I don't know if that was a some sort of a signal to Patrick Mahomes that, hey, now I'm walking up to the podium. But you see Kelce slowly sneaking over and sort of looking back a little bit. And when he gets to the podium and he goes, you know, I've been waiting for this and as Patrick Mahomes barely touches him, Kelsey's already turning towards him like, oh, and then already backing away from the podium. And then Mahomes, sorry about that guy. I think that was planned. It was really well done. They have great timing.
They do.
I think they were in sync, the mind melding at a podium, just as if they were on the football field. That was their stage. The football field was their stage on Sundays. That was their stage yesterday. And they worked in concert and teamed up to offer a really great moment. If that was not planned between the two, then God, I love Travis Kelce even more that he walked up there and was just going to start giving a speech.
Yes.
But if it was planned, I also think it's great that they planned that for Kelce to be sort of the goofball. Because even as he was walking back to the group, he was going, stupid. Dang it. Dumb.
The part of this now that and it's really too bad that where he's standing at the moment. I don't think Andy Reid saw what was happening. He's like looking at his feet right as that whole moment is happening. Afterwards, Andy Reid's like gesturing and everything, and then he goes for a handshake with the president. And again, it looks like. But I also would like to expand this to wonder if this was perfectly orchestrated by Mahomes and Kelce. Did anyone else around know this was happening? Or was there a brief moment where the fear of God inhabited Mark Donovan's body?
Like when Tyreek took the, or was it Chris Jones? Or who? Tyreek took the mic from Mitch Holtis at the first parade.
Yes.
He was trying to wrestle it away from him.
Did in that moment, some member of Chiefs brass just drop to the ground in total terror? Or was this something that maybe had been orchestrated well in advance? These are the stories we're going to get to the bottom to during the month of June.
Because, So I was a little confused because Andy Reid, when he was at the end of his speech, he said, now Travis and Pat are going to come up to the podium. I thought they were going to go and give a speech as well, but they came up to give the jersey to President Biden. And then Travis headed over to the microphone. I thought that, okay, well, now Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes are going to, you know, say thank you and everything. We appreciate you guys having us as, you know, the guys that are sort of the face of the Kansas City Chiefs right now. But apparently Andy Reid meant they're going to come up to the podium mm-hmm. to then present the president with this jersey. The reason it was not planned for Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes to give a speech that I believe is because after that's over with the lady saying, turn it off, mm-hmm. turn it off. We don't want anybody else playing. Turn it off. I don't know what she was saying. I'm inferring the we don't want anybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
But when she says, turn it off. And then they go quickly up there to start disassembling the podium.
This is the thing I just noticed this time is the guy who takes the seal off the front of the lectern.
Yeah. Yeah, takes the seal off. They start moving that out of the way. Like, turn it off.
We cannot have any misconceptions about this right now.
So, because of that, I don't think in any way Travis Kelce was told, you're going to go up and give a speech after Andy Reid.
Agreed, absolutely. There's no way that that was ever told to him.
So, therefore, one of two things. Kelce just decided, I'm going to take this opportunity to talk at the White House with the presidential seal in front of me. Or he and Mahomes came up with this and it was great.
Either way, Mahomes is closing speed here.
Yes.
Really impressive.
Sorry. I did have a couple of people on Twitter go, that clearly was not an act because have you seen Mahomes act? I'm like, you know what? I think he catches too much flack for his act. I think he's a fine actor in those commercials. You know, the jazz bath. Who's that guy?
The jazz bath is the pinnacle.
Jazz bath, yeah. Who's that guy? I think he's fine. I think he's getting better in his acting. Just a regular sneakerhead here working for the discount. I think they did a pretty good job.
Travis Kelce, also one of the only guys to go tieless to the White House and a really powerful look. I admire it.
He looks good.
But he went no tie. You know, it just makes me think that really all of the highest members of high fashion that I could think of in Kansas City, really Kansas City fashion icons, understand you don't really need a tie at a high-profile fashion event.
Yeah, the Travis Kelce, he gets up there, and either he solves all of the world's problems.
Yeah.
Or that's the face that launches 1,000 ships.
Yeah.
And it is Helen of Kelce. And there's an issue going on. Helen of Travis.
We were...
Helen of Trav.
Yeah,
got
the
it.
TR
Finally
is
got
there.
There.
I think that's good. Trav. Helen of Trav is good.
We got there eventually. We eventually found it. We landed the plane, thankfully.
Now I'm thinking I probably could have come up with some other famous sort of political Travis Kelce puns, but I'm not sure I'm going to get there.
You take a couple of weeks and figure it out.
That would be perfect. I'll be back in two.
Are we back?
Yeah, I forgot to load the music. I knew I was forgetting something, and I couldn't remember what it was, and then no music played, and I knew, oh, that was it.
Don't worry, Josh. Everything has been running smoothly since you were gone.
Is that how it's gone?
It's been perfectly fine.
I wasn't ready for the beginning of the show. Drake forgot the music here.
That's okay.
What's going on?
It was the first time ever Jason was in the studio before you were.
Yeah,
that
I was
true.
I was talking to Curtis, talking to Reed. I was having a nice time in the hall, just enjoying, just breathing deeply.
And I just did my typical, I'll grab the format, bring it in, because that's what I've been doing the last few days. So
I was excited to be like, hey, man, listen, I'm going to tell you here's where the printer is, here's where to get the show sheets from, and then you're going to deliver it. Because I was excited to delegate it away.
Yeah.
I don't want you to do it, though. That feels like a failing on my part.
Yeah, no, it's more than it feels.
Is.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah, no, it is. That's fair.
Speaking of failing, the Royals had a couple of errors. They jumped out 4-0, and then...
You know the best part about being overseas? Royals games start at like 2:30 in the morning.
Oh, I was going to say, what? Best part? I can actually watch the Royals. Can't watch them in Kansas City, but I go to
you know
Spain.
What?
And
wow, I probably could have.
Oh, you absolutely could have.
I probably could have watched them easier from Spain.
Load up that MLB app and go and watch the Royals games.
I saw they were 17-38 at one point. That was kind of funny.
They were.
I was hoping they'd be better than 18-42 after that, but you know.
No, they're not. Not. They went 1-4 since then. I thought everything was going to then take off.
That one Cardinals game seemed really fun.
They beat the Cardinals. They had played a really, really crisp, clean game, and they've gone 1-4 since because they're like, you know what? We left it all out there. we got to do that again, like the next day. And then they had 2 days off. They had Wednesday and Thursday off, back-to-back off days, and still find themselves losing games. So they score the first four runs, and then they watch the Marlins score nine consecutive before getting a couple of runs themselves. Some errors cost them. Here's Matt Quatraro weighing in on the mistakes in the field, the errors by the Royals.
Well, they forced the issue there on the bunt. You know, Wendell can run. Sally made a good play. It was, you know, bang, bang. You know, the ball just got away. You know, we've talked before about how good Salvi is at that play, and, you know, one ball gets away. The communication on the pop-up is unfortunate. You know, that costs, you know, directly, you know, then he goes to third on the wild pitch and scores on the single, so that's, you know, that's an add-on run there. So every run you give up, obviously, that's one more you got to chase, so that it's obviously not ideal.
Was that sort of like just a young player making a mistake right there, something you can easily clean up moving forward?
Well, I mean, I try to stay away from anything's easy, right? I mean, this is a tough game, and there's a lot of challenges to it. So it is something that at this level you expect that play to be made 100% of the time, and, you know, I'm sure Drew will focus on that and do better the next time. You know, it's not something he tried to do or that, you know, will happen again.
That was Yakety Sax, that inning, with two outs, nobody on, and a can of corn that's dropped. And then a pass ball or a wild pitch, and then a single, and they score a run when, you know, it was very, very mid-2000-aughts of the Royals to have that happen. Some of that is lack of playing time with Waters and Melendez in the outfield. I think Melendez probably should have just had the ball. Drew Waters ran that far over there to then call off Melendez, who at that time was kind of camping under it. And then as Waters got closer to the ball, he felt like he was closer to Melendez, you know, because he was already there. Mm-hmm. Melendez doing the right thing and deferring to the center fielder. And then Waters at the last second feeling like he was close to Melendez, pulls his glove back. And I think that's, you know, that chemistry between the two that are out there. Jackie Bradley Jr. catches the ball. I think that's pretty much a given that would take place. And so that was unfortunate. The Salvi error, whatever. He's been so awesome at those plays. The frustrating, not even the frustrating part. I go back and forth, and one of the things I'm going to ask Les Norman about, because I try to find silver linings, and people think that I'm not hard enough on the Royals. And also people think that I'm not positive enough for the Royals. But that's just simply whatever somebody's sensibilities are and how they view sports or their particular teams. I don't know if we find positives or if we view it as a negative from what we've seen this year for the Royals, or if it is just the course of the season that these things happen. We've seen this Royals offense be dreadful at the beginning of the year while the pitching staff was really good and they were losing, you know, 3-0 ball games. 2-1, 3-0, 2-0, 4-2. And it's like they can't score any runs and they're getting this really good pitching. Then the starting staff fell apart, but the bullpen picked it up. And the bullpen was just out there throwing BBs and getting outs and saving runs. And then the offense was scoring runs at a high clip. At times, the defense was just playing brilliant baseball. We're talking about like the outfield had all these runs saved. And over the course of the season now, they rank 28th in defensive run saves. Like, it's been bad, but they've had stretches of where the defense has been really good. They've had stretches to where the offense has been really good. They've had stretches to where the bullpen has been really good. They've had stretches to where the starting staff has been really good. And if that is just simply what happens over the course of a season where, yeah, you're going to have a time where this offense is playing really well. One of my favorite lines when it comes to teams that are struggling is, you know, Bobby Petrino had a team that wasn't winning. He called his dad and, you know, talking, and that was his sounding board, said, you know, I can't figure it out. You know, this game we did this, and then, you know, we've worked on this so much, and then the next game we go and do that, and we lose the game because of this, and then next game we go and lose the game because of this. And Bobby Petrino's dad said, well, I know the problem. Your team's not any good. That's the problem. Well, I mean, for a stretch, you had the offense working, and then a stretch, the bullpen let you down, and then a stretch, the starting staff let, and now the defense is letting you down. Oh, I know the issue. Your team sucks. That's the issue, because you can't put it together because they're not good enough to have longer stretches of the offense doing that, or longer stretches of the starting staff, or longer stretches of the bullpen, or longer stretches of the defense, that when they come in little spurts, the odds of those being put together at the right time are incredibly slim. But knowing this team isn't constructed to win right now, are there slivers of optimism, silver linings in that, hey, last 11 games, the Royals starting pitching is number two in ERA, is number one in strikeout percentage. You know, that same stretch, the offense is 11th in batting average, 15th in OPS. Hell, you'll take that right now. 15th in OPS, right? So you've got a starting staff that's number two in ERA, number one in strikeout percentage, number two in whip, number six in war, and an offense that's middle of the pack OPS. Yeah, you got a 4-7 record in that time. Why? Well, because now the bullpen has slid all the way back to where they're 28th in ERA, and they're 23rd in whip, and they're 25th in K to walk percentage. So now the bullpen is giving up a bunch of runs. And when you've got an offense or a pitching staff, Josh, that only goes five innings, you need your bullpen to pitch pretty well. So you're only getting roughly, you know, a little more than half the game of pitching that is a high level over the last 11 games. But you were getting a little less than half the game pitching that it was a high level when the bullpen was awesome.
Yeah.
But now it's going through these trends and these flows. Do you find silver linings in the offense doing this and the offense built with a lot of guys you would hope would be on the team later on? Or is it same old, just because the offense is doing well now, they're going to go into the tank sooner or later, and then the bullpen's going to turn it on?
It's quintessentially baseball, and I think it has to be a little bit of both because of that, because you have to acknowledge where this team is right now in terms of it being a rebuild, and you know that not the contention this year is not the goal, and this is the most honest the Royals have been about that fact in almost 10 years, right? So it is to say this is really about what comes next. So the blips on the radar, the little positive stretches, I don't think it's like delusional to say, hey, that's good and fun and could be a little bit consistent. Like, okay, let's unpack that and see where that ends up leading this team in the future. But it is also the most crushing truth of baseball if your team is bad, or the most fun truth of baseball if your team is good. It's this season lasts forever. It's just constantly going. It feels like this Royals season's been 3 years long, and we are just short of the halfway mark still. And what, for some reason, quarterbacks were the thing that really helped me kind of hone this in, and just my sports analysis, my sports viewing in terms of what we actually look for in the whole of a picture. When you have a highlight film, Daniel Jones highlight tape, you could give me three best Daniel Jones highlights you've ever seen, and you could talk me into him being a top five, top 10 quarterback. And you could bring me the bottom three plays of anyone but Patrick Mahomes. Bring me Josh Allen's worst three plays, and I'll tell you that dude should be in the XFL right now. Baseball is the thing that smooths out the bell curve the most, though, because there are 162 of these suckers. But what you are over the course of an entire year or months-long stretches is what's actually real. And what is real for the Royals is that they have not had more than two cylinders firing at once for any portion of this season. And you can absolutely, and you should, because you're a human being who's watching baseball regularly, you should take the silver linings and pack those away for later and hope you can eventually build an entire silver cloud pretty soon.
Put it under my pillow and it keeps me warm at night.
Yes, exactly. Cuddle up with that little silver lining. But it is really, really difficult to take those day-to-day little victories when you do zoom out and you just see the crushing weight of a 300 winning percentage in early July. So it's multifaceted, and I don't think that there is even a right or wrong way to watch a bad baseball team. I think watch whatever it is that gets you the most enjoyment out of a team that is certainly not contending this year and that you want to believe in the pieces of. I think long-term, over the rest of the second half of this year, it's what can be consistent, what's sustainable. And right now, I don't know the answer to any of those.
I'm hoping the Royals have found a leadoff hitter. You know, it's a small sample size.
Oh, I'm a little parched, actually.
There's a lot of times I was hoping you were drinking some water or drinking something, because we had a lot of small sample sizes, and I would just drop bait, Josh, take a drink. Maybe you heard that.
I probably did drink a good number of times when you said that.
I hope so.
Law of large numbers.
Hope so. But yes, maybe they have found a leadoff hitter. We're getting some more of that. Les Norman joins us at noon. We'll talk with Adam Teicher coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll take a timeout, come back, wrap up the hour. More Zone next. right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson, Josh Briscoe, and Drake. We head up until 2 o'clock. We'll talk with Adam Teicher, some NFL football coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Les Norman at noon. We'll talk some baseball with Les Norman and Todd Lebo in the 1 o'clock hour. As we've talked Chiefs to the White House in the first segment. Josh, his trip around the world and back. And we talked a little Royals baseball in the first hour so far, but a lot of other stuff to get into with the NFL and also with the Royals. And man, I really wish the Major League Baseball draft was the same time it was, you know, years past of being June around this time. I know the whole College World Series stuff going on, and they want to you know, get outside of that and have like combine and more times for, you know, teams to really assess players outside of college and high school seasons being over and all of that stuff, but I don't really need to discuss Royals baseball draft at the end of July. You know, I'm doing some Chiefs stuff at that time. Kind of days filled now, baseball. Sorry. Kind of missed the boat there, guys. Whereas early mid-June at least gave you something to discuss. Like, you can look back at prospects and what's going on. And Frank Mazzucato, that was a really positive story until now. He's on the IL with a boo-boo. It's not an arm injury, a collision with a teammate, at practice, but nobody wants to say what happened at practice for them to collide. I mean, pitchers like to go out in batting practice and shag fly balls, so in theory, that could happen. Would they call that practice, you know, batting practice before the game? Is that technically practice? Oh, you got hurt in practice. Was it BP? Was he out shagging fly balls? Did he collide with somebody? Were they not communicating? What happened there?
But maybe he should be playing center field for the Royals. Hold on now.
Just know it's not an arm injury. Okay, well, what is it? Well, it was a collision. But he was pitching really well, so that's good.
Yeah. I know it's a different boo-boo, but you said the phrase, have you ever had a callus explode? That sounded really unpleasant.
Yeah. I've got a... Right there.
Wait. Yeah, well, that's even throwing that cutter.
Yeah, that's right.
You burn yourself? What happened there?
No, redoing the deck.
Oh!
Father-in-law came in town, said, well, if I'm going to be there, I want to see the kids, obviously, but I want a project. Well, we've got all this wood rot on the deck, so let's go ahead and change that out. Okay. That's what we did.
It didn't cost you an arm and a leg, but it did cost you a finger.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.